Welcome to day 130 of Happier People Podcast, here with me, Jerry Banfield. Would you like to quit any addiction today to be free from that horrible struggle of promising you'll not do something, trying to quit, and then just going back to it? I'm grateful to be here with you because my entire adult life until the last year or two has been consumed with addiction and compulsive behavior in so many different areas. What I will share here with you today is what I've learned based on what works for millions of other people to give up any addiction today from my personal experience, much of which is learned from others. If you have questions, would you wait to ask them until I've done the initial presentation on Facebook or YouTube, and then I will take some questions at the end after I've ended the podcast. If you're listening on iTunes or Google Music or on my website, thank you very much for being here with me again. Here's the best of what I've learned about how to quit any addiction. First, I've found that I need to have a complete experience. Really notice and pay attention to every different phase of the addiction. This was very apparent to me with my porn addiction. I remember being single when I was about 25 years old, getting up first thing in the morning, turning on the laptop, firing up the free porn, and thinking, you know what, this might be a problem someday. But for today, hey, why not? And then when I'm married several years later and have a wife and a very healthy sex life, it's not fun to go watch porn anymore. It felt more like a compulsive behavior, like I had to go do it. That if I felt a certain way, I had to go watch porn, and that wasn't fun. What I had to do was notice the whole experience. Because in my mind would be like, oh man, wouldn't it be so good to see some hot naked girls? Well, yes. Oh, that'd be great. Wouldn't it be good to do something about that? Oh yeah, it'd be really good. Oh, that sounds great. Let me get to it right now. What I usually didn't pay any attention to was the process afterwards. After I'm done watching porn, I'm deleting it from my history on whatever device I used. I'm cleaning up the mess. And I usually just tried to kind of hurry through that part. I didn't really pay much attention to how disgusting I felt afterwards. Like that horrible sense of shame, like I'm a bad person. I didn't pay much attention to that. I just kind of got what I wanted out of it, so to speak. That little moment of euphoria, that little high. And then, all right, let's quickly clean up the mess. Just like I'd been doing since I was like 11 years old. Let's have a little fun. All right, now put everything away and act like it never happened. What I noticed was in paying attention the whole time, pay attention just as much to the before process, which the mind gets all excited about. Pay attention to the after process just as much. A lot of us skip through, try and hurry through some of our tasks that are mundane or that we do all the time. And with addiction, we often hurry through the pain. Or we use other things to cover up the pain. What I did was pay attention to all that after process and then associate that with the initial experience. Do you want the whole experience? Because the initial part might sound fun. Even, do you want to see some pictures of naked girls? Yeah, that sounds like fun. Still today, that still sounds like fun. What doesn't sound like fun is, do you want to feel like crap about yourself for several hours afterward? Do you want to feel that sense of you're disgusting inside for several hours afterward? When you are then in the chance to actually have some real sex with your wife, do you want to be remembering that porn you watched and feeling horrible about it? No, I really don't want to be doing that. When I integrate the entire experience together, it's like poking myself in the eye. And the harder you do it, there's no temptation to just poke myself in the eye. I'm not tempted to slap myself around or punch myself in the face because I know that hurts. There's no temptation to do something I know hurts. With addiction, it's really important to see the full experience because you've got to see the pain in it as well. For me, with alcohol, I struggled with trying to drink and manage it and stay sober and then try and have just a drink here and there. I tried to do that for 11 years. My dad was alcoholic. I knew damn well I should never drink. I went to college, and all of a sudden, to try and help me with my sex problems, I couldn't figure out how to get laid without drinking, and I'd watched enough commercials to see, if I have some alcohol, maybe that'll help me have sex. So that's how I started drinking. And I just would try and breeze through or numb the pain of the hangovers. Finally, the last hangover, I really looked at how awful it was. The whole day in bed, throwing up blood, the remorse, the shame, the hopelessness. And then next time I went to think about drinking, to think about that. Is that what you want to get? And then to stop lying about it and saying, well, I'm just going to have two drinks this time. Or if with another addiction, I'll just have one cigarette, or I'll just look at one porno today, or I'll just, whatever your addiction is, I'm just going to have this one donut. The second key thing after you've noticed the full experience is to work on helping others. And that's what I'm doing here today. I realize that I haven't quit drinking alcohol or gambling or smoking or having adult movies and irresponsible sex habits or overeating or eating things that are bad for me. I haven't stopped any of that for life. I only get a day off based on my willingness to help others. What I had a miracle happen the last time I drank and had a hangover, I realized that I needed to go help others. I desperately prayed to God to quit drinking because after 11 years of trying to stop, the second time I drank, I had a brutal hangover, horrible sickness and throwing up. And guess what? A couple weeks later, I thought, well, I'll do a better job this time. I won't drink quite that much. In other words, I'll avoid the consequences. I'll get what I want out of it, and I'll avoid the consequences. You don't get to avoid the consequences in life unless you don't do the behavior to start with. And once you're in that hopeless feedback loop, where if you don't get stopped by the consequences, see, the fourth time I smoked marijuana, I got lucky. The consequences were the same as the second time I drank. I got horribly sick because I'd been drinking also, and I think it might have been laced with something. I got horribly sick. I had some kind of trip. I didn't know who I was anymore. It was awful. And then anytime I thought about smoking weed after that, I couldn't help but remember that last time where I got horribly sick, and I couldn't lie to myself and say that it might not happen again. If you have the experience of having an awful time doing whatever you did before and you can't quit, even with that experience, it's absolutely essential to go help other people. Why? Because other people are all struggling with this stuff around you. And a lot of them are trying really hard to hide it from you. The alcoholic next door is doing things like stuffing his liquor bottles, his handles of vodka in the bottom of the recycling bin so that he doesn't look like such a drunk to his neighbors. The guy who's trying to quit smoking next door is sneaking cigarettes out on his back patio. Meanwhile, he's telling you about having nicotine patches and going and getting gum. The guy who's watching porn secretly in his bedroom the other neighbor over there who's trying to hide it tells you, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm great. And he's cutting the grass and you don't realize that he's right next door in his bedroom every 3 hours watching porn. Most of us are struggling with some kind of addiction, or lots of us are struggling with some kind of addiction, whether it's to a substance, whether it's to a person, whether it can be even things like work. The guy, another neighbor you have, he's never home because she's never home because they're working 60, 70 hours a week. And they go to work even when they hate it, even when work beats them up and treats them horrible. To me, helping others is essential for my ability to stop. Why? Because it's not enough for me to just remember, well, last time I watched porn, it wasn't very enjoyable. Because my mind will lie me into thinking it is again. My mind, when I get a little uncomfortable, say, well, you know what? Fix this. Fire up a porno. You'll forget about everything else. Why don't you have a drink too? Sign up on another website. You can gamble with Bitcoin now. My mind will lie me into doing all these things again. When I help others, though, it doesn't have the power to lie as completely effectively. Its lies start to sound like lies instead of sounding like the truth. I was driving by on the way home from Disney with my family the other day, an absolutely perfect day, and the thought comes as I drive by and see the Hard Rock Casino on the right, which I have not been to since 2009. That's 7 years. And I haven't been to it since I've lived in Florida. My mind's like, you have to pull over right now and go drop, just, I was driving. Just pull over, drop yourself off there, let everyone else, your wife, daughter, in-laws, let them figure out how to get home. You just pull over, walk on in, you can have a drink, you can sit down and, look, there's a new poker room. You saw that billboard before. You can just have a really nice time in the casino. And today, because I help others, I recognize what a huge lie that is. My mind's literally trying to lie me into a place of misery, luring me there, like in the, I think it was the Odyssey, the main character gets lured to this island by these singing nymphs. I can't remember the story hardly at all, but it's that sound of temptation. When I help others, I learn to recognize the sound of temptation, and I learn to recognize the full experience, because I didn't even know how to integrate the full experience. My entire, all the effects of drinking and all my other addictions, I didn't know how to integrate them into a memory that would be available for me right when I wanted to do the addiction. The key is, when you go to have that liquor bottle in your hand, or you're just about to fire up the cigarette or go to the gas station and grab a pack, or you've just hit the search on your phone, hot naked girls, or whatever you're looking for, when you go to fire that up, you need the whole memory right then. Not 10 minutes later after you've already taken that first drink or you started puffing on the cigarette or you're halfway into the porno. You really need the memory before you start. Because then it's really consensual. Do you want to consciously walk into the misery that comes with the addiction? I had the stomach flu a couple of months back. I'm grateful that since I've started helping others, the thought I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, I realized that's probably a good place to help other people with alcoholism. And there's all kinds of other places you can help with other specific addictions. For example, if you're trying to quit smoking, there are all kinds of groups today you can go and help and be with other people who are trying to quit smoking. And for other addictions, there's all kinds of places you can go to help with that. I realized that, all right, I honestly just totally lost track of what I'm saying. And that's cool because I'll just start coming up with something new. Where was I going with this? I totally don't know. There's something really good that's about to come out of my mouth, though. Any minute, I think. Aha, there it is. When you're getting into an addiction, there is really something good there. There is some kind of need you're hoping to have met underneath everything else. The key with helping others and seeing the complete experience is to then get an alternative to have the same need met. I'm not suggesting you just try and use your willpowers. I've done so many times to try and stay sober. I've tried to use my willpower and just say, I'm gonna stay sober. I'm gonna not watch porn. I'm not gonna gamble. I'm not gonna play video games. I'm gonna be a better person. And all of a sudden, I'm doing everything at the same time. Yes, it's possible to gamble, drink, watch porn, and play video games all at the same time. Wow, that's a lot of addictions all at once. I had the stomach flu a couple of months ago, and I'm grateful I haven't had my last drink. It's been almost 3 years now, which is a miracle. I never could put together more than a few days, weeks, or months trying to just, I'm going to use my willpower and basically not do it, but not replace it either. I had the stomach flu and I was sitting on the couch. I'd thrown up. I'd been throwing up for 8 hours off and on. And I was just sitting on the couch thinking, wow, how did I do this to myself so many times with drinking? No amount of fun is worth this amount of sick. I remember seeing my wife in bed after I'd been sober about a year, and she was sick from being pregnant, and it looked about like a hangover, and according to her, it felt about like she imagined or had experienced. And I looked at her and said, she's doing this to bring another life into the world. I used to do that every week or several times a week. I'd have a hangover so bad I couldn't get out of bed. Or I would take pills to get numb the pain and try and push through the hangover and go to work. Yeah, as a police officer, I lots of times got drunk and would then just be throwing down pills to try and be able to go into work the next day. My dad told me I should have been a bartender if I wanted to live like that. But thankfully, I couldn't keep being a police officer very long and being an alcoholic. When you see the experience as it really is, it looks sick. My God, no amount of fun is worth poisoning myself over. No amount of pleasure in, you could look at it for eating. No amount of momentary pleasure of having something in my mouth is worth feeling like a disgusting fat person for the next several hours, days, weeks, months. I had a big problem with eating for much of my life. I would eat to change how I felt. I was obese for most of my adult life. And I'm grateful today to have a healthier relationship with eating, because some things you can't just quit. You may not be able to just quit eating, probably not. You can't just quit working. Today, I'm grateful for any addiction that I can just stop. I don't need to drink alcohol. I don't need to watch porno by myself. I don't need to smoke. I don't need to gamble. And I'm really grateful today that I've got this experience, because I have something useful to share with you today. What happens in other people is helping other people, I don't forget what I've learned. Because my mind will always remember how to lie to me. It will remember how to pitch. You think of a sales pitch in business. My mind knows how to pitch a drink 1,000 different ways. Well, Jerry, you've had a really hard day today. Aren't you thirsty? Why don't you have a drink? That'll fix that. Well, Jerry, you didn't like what that person said. Why don't you have a drink? In hearing and listening to other people's experience, it helps me today to stay quit. Because my problem wasn't that I couldn't use self-will and discipline. I could easily use willpower to stop drinking and give it up for a day or a week or a couple weeks. And you may have found this with things like smoking or other bad habits. You can quit for a little while, but the trick is, the next time that lie comes in, can you stay quit? Well, you've had a hard day today. A cigarette, that'd really help, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd take the edge off, wouldn't it? What I've found is that I must replace all the needs that were satisfied by the addiction, because my alcohol drinking wasn't all bad. In fact, there was a lot of needs that were met by my drinking. And if I just simply gave up drinking and didn't replace that with anything that met those same needs, then it continued to look attractive to go back to. The other times I tried to get sober just by willpower alone, I'm going to do this. I didn't try and help anyone. I didn't integrate the full experience. I just said, I'm going to stay sober. I swear to God, I'll stay sober. I did it a lot of different ways. I wouldn't meet the same needs. When I drank the normal way I was sober, I didn't laugh a lot. I didn't often do things very playful or have much fun. I didn't relax. One of the things that I was horrible at for most of my adult life was relaxing, which is why I was prone to alcoholism. You take a drink, you relax a little bit. I had a really hard time relaxing. I was always on edge. I'm going to get things done. And that made me prone to overworking as well, because that energy is great. You go to work and yeah, I'm going to work and power through stuff. One of the only ways I knew how to relax besides drinking was to have sex or porn and related activities, or to go to the gym or exercise and to just wear myself down so much that I couldn't hardly do anything else. I used to do these workouts where I'd get my heart rate up to 190 and keep it there for 45 minutes or an hour. That's how you have a heart attack at the gym doing that. And I would be so exhausted then that I would have to relax. And those workouts were tough. It's unpleasant to keep your heart rate at 100% for an hour on the gym. But it's kind of easy to get it up that high when you're fat, which I was fat most of my adult life. So it's pretty easy to get my heart rate going fast. It's a little more challenging now. What I've learned is if I want to stay free from my addictions today, I have to see that there are legitimate needs the addiction is fulfilling. That I want to laugh, I want to relax, and I need to learn from other people how to do that. Because for me, I drank for 11 years, I didn't know how to laugh or have fun or play and mess around and not be such a tight ass without drinking. And I had to learn from people, how do you laugh without a drink? How do you have some fun? How do you let go a little bit? Without a drink in you, without marijuana, without prescription drugs, or without illegal drugs, how do you let go a little bit without that stuff to help? How do I dance without drinking? How do I date without drinking? When you've done an addiction long enough, and an addiction could be a person, you may find that you've got some abusive relationship in your life, and it's like an addiction. You don't know what to do without it, but when you're without it, you've got to have it back, and then when you've got it back, you can't stand it anymore. How do I do anything without this person in my life, who, even though they abuse me, I don't know how to live without them? That's where helping other people comes into play, because when I help other people, I receive the same help back. When I offer my experience to you, I get your experience back. When I offer my love and support to you, I get yours back. And it's taken a lot of people explaining a whole lot of things to me for me to learn. Oh, you know what? I can go get a massage. That will help me relax. Or another way I can relax is to sit down and meditate or read a book or just sit in an AA meeting and listen. If I want to laugh, AA meetings tend to be really good for laughing because there's some sick people like me that go and share their stories. If I want to have the experience of intimacy, of feeling good about my body that comes with watching porn and adult movies, then I'm able to get that today by healthy eating, by taking care of my body, and by honestly and openly sharing with others, by seeing others not just for their sexual characteristics, but really looking at and seeing every other person around me. When you're sitting there watching adult movies, you really want to be connected more with other people. You really want to be loved and seen more by other people. You want to be not objectified so much. And then I find that I'm not tempted to go look at that stuff if I'm really seeing and connecting with other people. Even things like being addicted to social media. You're on Facebook or Instagram all the time. How many likes does this have? What photo can I post? So much that you can't even enjoy the world around you. That's a desire for connection with other people. And that often, it just takes a different approach. But you may not be able to figure it out on your own. You may have to see someone actually doing it. For me, the main way I learn is to see what people are actually doing. And this is the main way I teach. I just share with you what I do because that's easy and honest. I don't have to sit here and make a script. Sure, I might have forgot what I was going to say for 30 seconds and didn't have a clue and stopped for a minute, but I don't need a script to tell you the truth. I don't need to plan out and try and make a perfect lecture to tell you what I'm already doing in my life. The most powerful learning I give to my daughter as a parent is what I do. She cross-checks everything I say with what I do. If I tell her to do something different from what I'm doing, she learns hypocrisy. That's what I learned when I was taught and raised, don't cuss, by people who cussed a lot. I learned hypocrisy. I didn't learn not to cuss. I learned hypocrisy, that you say one thing and do another. In raising my daughter, I try and simply be who I'd like to share with her. I simply am whatever I'd like her to be able to learn from. I realize she's going to be independent. I'm grateful to be here with you today. I'm very happy to share this experience with you because my compulsions to do many types of unhealthy behavior left me feeling hopeless and suicidal for lots of different times in my life. The day after a binge, all night at the casino, drinking and gambling, and waking up the next morning just not even wanting to go through all the pain again. There's hope. You don't ever have to go through the pain. The pain you've been through already with every addiction is enough. If you can't see it, help other people and you'll be able to see it. As they share their pain, you'll start remembering all this pain you've buried under the rug. A lot of us are really good at burying stuff under the rug. And some of us are so good that there are things buried so deep that you can't even get to them without digging and digging and digging. There's things I remembered back to like 3 years old that it took me a year of looking at all the different issues I was experiencing, digging deeper. All right, why am I like this? Where does this come from? And then once you go back far enough, you don't need to keep going back anymore. Once you can experience and heal those original hurting things, often that happened before you were addicted, then you don't have to keep letting them run your life today. And now I'm getting hypnotized by the sound of my own voice a bit. Sicker than your average. So I appreciate you listening to this today. My exercise is to keep practicing what I've shared with you here. After all, the main reason I'm doing this is so I remember it. I don't want to forget all this stuff I'm telling you. It's good for me today. That's why I've shared it with you. So thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day today. And if you're watching live, if you have any questions you'd like to ask, I'll answer those on Facebook or YouTube.